Yeah! All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Mo Show. Mo, we're talking mud, obstacles, and running. Racing, whatever you want to call it. It is the Mo Show. Listen to it every Thursday at 7 o'clock at mofit.com, or if you are tuned in to us, either myself or Christine, on any of our hundreds of different social media platforms, you'll get links to the show there as well. Happy Thursday afternoon, evening to you, Christine Hetzel.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Another week down. This is our second show. The last show went great. We had a little technical difficulties here and there, but I thought it went pretty well.
I think considering how much trouble we had leading up to it, it went pretty smashingly, to be honest.
Yeah, if we can keep using words like smashingly, this is going to be the number one show on the internet in three more shows.
Yeah, of course.
So how was your week? Between last week, I haven't talked to you much. Any good fitness stories, running away from bears perhaps? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, actually over near the office, I do tend to run around my office, which is over in Altamont, and there are evidently quite a few bears, but I have not run into them. A peacock and a couple peahens, but I can deal with those.
Some panthers out running around in some glades down in Melbourne Beach less than a month ago. Big, giant Florida panther. Very, very cool stuff. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, pardon me. This is horribly rude, Christine, and anybody listening, but I was just putting the finishing touches on a Pop-Tart when the show started.
Well, you have your priorities, but as far as I know, they're definitely not going to be handing out sponsorships for you anytime soon. So good try. Good try, though.
Yeah. Wish there was a way to share them with, our listeners. But anyway, telephone number, if you want to call in, is area code 347-857-2793. That is the telephone number to get in to the Mo Show. Coming up in the second half of the show, we have a special guest. His name is Brian Nelson, and I met him a couple of years ago when I ran in a obstacle course race, a mud run, here in Florida, and he actually put it on. He organized it, put it together. He either handled himself or delegated out the handling of, permits, insurance, and everything that goes into putting on an event like that. So it's going to be fun to pick his brain and see what goes into making one of those. But before we talk to Brian, that'll be up at about 7:30 or so. I got a couple of interesting fitness tidbits that have happened in the past 7 days. Christine, you have yet to do a Tough Mudder race, right? I don't think you've actually done one yet.
No, mainly because I'm really scared of an injury that would take me out of any of the bigger races that I've signed up for. So I want to. I just am really kind of afraid of those injuries.
You think hurdling 6 foot tall hay bales while dodging 35,000 watt electrical wires is going to injure you?
Yeah, I know your wife Joy is a complete and utter beast, and I think she broke a rib cage, or fracture something.
Yeah, she did on one of the obstacles at the Central Florida Tough Mudder this past year. She fell off an obstacle. And it was in about a third of the way through the course, and yeah, broke a rib and finished the race after that. I was
correctly, she was then out on the Space Coast Marathon course, just a few weeks after that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see what I have to live up to here in this household?
Yeah, I'm not really that badass. That's what it just comes down to be honest.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because Tough Mudder is suing somebody because I'm calling up the whole story here. Here's the actual headline from the story, and I'll give credit to mcall.com is where I saw this article. Tough Mudder claims Lehigh County man's mini mudder obstacle course infringes on trademark. And as with any article or any news thing, especially in this day and age in today's world, you have to kind of vet articles like this. But I've heard it mentioned, and I've seen this this topic brought up on a bunch of Mud Run forums and Tough Mudder forums and whatnot on Facebook and other places. And so this is actually happening. I'll just read a little bit of the article here to you. The Brooklyn company that promotes Tough Mudder obstacle course challenges by encouraging participants to have the brand tattooed on their bodies, among other things, is suing this guy because he hosted a children's version of the race. They organize the extreme 10 to 12 mile obstacle course challenges around the world, and they claim that it's infringing on its trademarks and damaging its brand by using the name Mini Mudder for his kids' obstacle course race that he put together. What do you think about that?
I'm not surprised. I follow a lot of these different, I guess, the brand-named obstacle course races, and they're really particular. They've made group Facebook groups change their names, and they've hit people with cease and desist and a lot of different things. It's a big branding issue for them. Now, are they afraid?
Yeah, and that's kind of your cup of tea, too, in the real world, isn't it? You're in marketing, and you know, brand recognition is something you deal with on a daily basis.
It is. Now, me personally, I could only wish to achieve the point where I would have to worry about people taking my brand recognition and trying to spin it off on their own thing. So I'm not particularly worried about that happening to me anytime soon, but I could see where that would be an issue for them.
I guess I can see both sides of it. I can see the infringement of the trademark side of it. But also, too, this is a dude putting on a tiny little thing for his kids and his kids' friends. Although I think he is trying to make it a series of races, I don't know if he's trying to profit from it or not, but it still seems a little bit strange. And also, this is another aspect of it that I heard mentioned on the radio this morning. We're kind of diving into trademark law, which clearly I don't know anything about, and you probably know much more than I do about it, Christine. But
Hardly.
Apparently, there's a precedent set if somebody infringes on a trademark, even just a tiny little bit, so that other people, basically it opens the gate. The floodgates are open for other people to infringe the same trademark in the same way that somebody had previously basically gotten away with,
right,
for lack of a better way of putting it. So if this guy was allowed to do it, then basically under trademark law, anybody can go ahead and do this. In the same way that he did, and there's nothing that Tough Mudder could ever do about it.
Well, I had to be honest, it piqued my curiosity, so I did a little bit of looking. I don't see that he's actually trying to profit off of it, but it does appear, well, actually, yeah, he is. He's got a few different packages for sale for people to do this for their kids. It's actually kind of a brilliant idea. It's a great alternative to a birthday party where you're going to a bounce house. It just probably was an issue where he should have thought out a different name.
Yeah. Yep, sounds like it. All right. I've changed my mind on it. Tough Mudder, sue his ass off. You have our permission. Go for it.
Well, you're a big Tough Mudder fan.
Hopefully
You've
that kid will
You've
done it
a few times, though, haven't you? Okay, but I'm on his page. These kids are absolutely adorable, to be honest. Super-duper cute kids. And I think that is an absolutely awesome idea to try to get them out there and doing something a little bit more than just playing video games.
Yeah, darn straight on that one. Telephone number here, if you'd like to dial in and be part of the show and comment on anything we're talking about, is area code 347-857-2793. And this is the Mo Show. MoFit.com and Blog Talk Radio is where we're hosting it. I guess we could put that subject to bed, Christine. I didn't realize the dude was profiting from it, so, you know, screw him.
Well, it's like a barely profit. I by no means think that he's, like, going to be buying himself a yacht anytime soon. It's a cute little... Definitely. It's something that it's to be thought of. Actually, I think it's an adorable idea. I wonder, though, if he would have approached Tough Mudder, or maybe he did. There might be more to the story.
Well, if anybody knows anything about it, I'd love to, you know, shoot us an email and contact us through the website. Love to know. I mean, it's potentially, it's possible that, you know, in the coming weeks, somebody could just listen to this show later as a podcast and know exactly what we're asking for. So maybe a subject to return to.
I agree. Let's look into that.
Yep. Moving on. Also, just to plug, once again, Brian Nelson is coming up at 7:30. Brian Nelson organizes races, and he may actually know a little bit about this trademark law stuff, so we can pose that question to him, too, when he comes back on. All right, moving on. Christine, 50 Shades of Grey. When I say those words, what do you think of?
God, I wish it would go away. I definitely think of the movie. And I didn't personally see it or read the books, but it's caught over like wildfire. So, sounds interesting.
Well, a personal trainer in in Australia has created what she has deemed a forced fitness boot camp. And there's a particular class called Slave Training and Fitness. Slave training.
Well,
so,
let's be honest, we've all attended at least one fitness class where we felt like we were definitely on the slave training side. At least I know I have.
I completely thought you were going a different direction with that. I thought you were saying it's not like none of us have never, you know, been to a dungeon.
Well, I'm sure that actually is the next thing I was going to say.
Anyway, she is apparently making a go with this thing. It's the 50 Shades of Grey Fitness. So I did a little digging around and got a little audio for you here. This is a woman who does 50 Shades of Grey or Pilates fitness modeled after 50 Shades of Grey.
Hey, guys, it's Chloe, and I'm here with celebrity trainer and fitness expert Kristen James. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so you've created something really cool. It's called 50 Shapes, which is a total body workout based around my favorite book, 50 Shades of Grey.
My favorite, too.
And so tell me a little bit about this workout.
So the workout is primarily a strength training workout, mm-hmm. little Pilates in it, and it's really a workout that's going to get you in shape for sex.
Okay, so when you're saying in shape for sex, this book is mainly about S&M. So are you talking like getting you ready for some crazy stuff?
No. So I'm talking about getting you ready to endure great sexual encounters.
So last a long time.
Yeah, have the strength, the stamina, the flexibility. Because a lot of my clients are reading the books, and they were like, okay, forget about that they're having sex on every single page, but how are they doing this?
Right. And so do you name some of the moves after stuff in the book?
So there are moves like the Dirty Diamond, the Lusty Lunge, the Risque Rotation, the Bend Over Better.
What is the Bend Over Better?
So the Bend Over Better is done in stilettos.
Okay.
Or not, but a lot of my clients like the stilettos. And it's to increase the flexibility and strength so that you have the stamina to bend over better.
And then the rotating what?
The risque rotation.
Okay, what's that?
So, you know, when you're in the bedroom and you might not be on your back, but you might be, in an upright position, you want to be able to bend and be flexible and a little agile, and that move is going to help you get there.
So tell me, who are some celebrities that you would love to see try this workout?
Oh, my gosh. I would love to see Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm. My favorite. And who do you think should play Christian Grey and Anastasia Steele?
Yes. I actually think it should be an actor we don't even know.
A lot of people are saying that they should just pick no name. All right, so main question here, though, is this only for women or can men do it too?
So many people ask me that. Yes, it is only for women.
Okay.
But a lot of the spouses and boyfriends.
Right, so you guys are out.
A lot of them are asking if I'd make a workout for the men.
And I'll be honest with you, Christine. I don't see me or any of my man friends doing the Dirty Diamond anytime soon.
Are you sure about that? Even with the promises that it'll help your sexual prowess?
I'm married. I don't,
Are you saying that you've given up? You don't need to expand on your sexual prowess?
I certainly don't need to be doing Dirty Diamonds.
Okay, well, we'll have to definitely have Joy phone in on that at some point and let us know about it.
Another topic we can come back to. As a woman, what do you think about that? I know that the movies themselves are pretty divided. It's a pretty polarized view. People either love or hate the movie. But what about this concept? Well, how do you think this is going to fly?
Again, and I hate to go back to it, I think it's brilliant marketing. I mean, she's just taking regular from what I can tell, regular moves, giving them a different name, and capitalizing a little bit more on the popularity of it. And I think people like something a little bit more, like, scintillating and kind of like the stripper pole fitness classes that have taken off like wildflower. So would I personally do it? Sure, I could see a few of my girlfriends and I doing it.
Cool, cool. Hey, if you're listening and you think you would try it, or you definitely think you would not try it, or maybe you're listening and you just have thought of some more moves that we could add to the list, you know, after the Dirty Diamond, give us a shout, 347-857-2793. That's the number to call in and be part of the show here, the Mo Show. With myself, I am Mark Boucher, and the lovely and talented Christine Hetzel, co-hosting from, we're both here in nice, warm Florida. So we would actually, I'd love to hear from somebody who's not in nice, warm Florida. That'd be great as well. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, and for the rest of the show, we're going to talk to Brian Nelson about what goes into putting on an obstacle course race. But right now, we're talking about this fitness trainer, a personal trainer in Australia. Mistress Anna is what she goes by. And she teaches the 50 Shades of Grey fitness class. Die of a heart attack in the middle of sex every year, right?
I have heard something along those lines before.
Sorry, I had a little technical glitch there that I think may or may not have gone out over the air. Thankfully, it was just audio. Sorry about that. Once again, 347, if you want to be part of the show, 347-857-2793. And this is our second show. I used to be in radio, but it's been a long time. And Christine, you did a little broadcasting, I think you mentioned off in the past, but neither of us are polished professional broadcasters by any stretch. So the fact that this show has even made it 17 minutes into it on its second airing is pretty impressive, I think.
I think so, too, but you're being way too generous by broadcasting. It basically means I interned for a few months down, and, basically I got my tongue pierced on air. That was the highlight of my career in broadcasting.
Yeah. Is that available to listen? I mean, is it online somewhere? We should definitely dig that up if it's out there somewhere.
God, it would be fantastic. I mean, seriously, how bad – that just goes to show how bad I was at broadcasting, where they're like, hey, let's just pierce her tongue so she won't be able to talk for a little bit longer here. I'd have to check into it.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll put that on the list as well. We are talking – of course, the subject matter of this show is always something going to be fitness-related. Mud obstacle and endurance is his MOE. And we were talking about a fitness trainer in Australia that has the 50 Shades of Grey fitness class. And the idea is, to get you in shape specifically for sex. And what's interesting about that is that I can't think of any other fitness programs out there like P90X or CrossFit or, just running that are, aimed towards training you for something specific like sex. Although if you're going to train for something specific, sex is definitely a great thing.
I would agree wholeheartedly.
To quote Mistress Anna, she says, she is the personal trainer. She says, push-ups or sit-ups, when they get down on the floor, they kiss my boots.
They kiss her boots?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So she really does consider herself, does she consider herself more of an actual Pilates instructor, or does she really feel that her calling is as a mistress?
I get the impression she's pretty good at both.
Well, really, why should we pin her down in just one little box when she can do both?
Yeah, if you could be good at two things, and those are the two of them, run with it. Telephone number here is 347-857-2793. So next week, Christine, next week you're going to be here, right? I know you've got one hell of a busy week coming up.
Yeah, next Thursday and the following Thursday, we are going into Bike Week. So I will be here. I'm hoping to be able to set up and do it kind of like what we have now with a microphone. But if not, I'll be calling in and annoying you that way. So we'll see. We're going to have to play by ear a little bit.
Awesome. Cool. I wish I could make it to Bike Week. Hell, it's a week long. There's no excuse for really not making it up there at some point. But next week on the show, we are going to have a gentleman named Ali, who is the owner of 26.2 CrossFit in Melbourne, Florida. You know him a little bit, Christine, don't you? You knew his name last week when we were talking about this on the air a little bit.
Yeah, I actually still subscribe to his all of the CrossFit boxes post the WOD of the day, which is workout of the day. And There's all sorts of memes about it anyway, but he sends out his emails and I usually still get them. He's been doing some really cool stuff lately. I've noticed that it sounds like he's preparing his box a little bit more for some strongman competitions, which I find fascinating.
Well, I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, or actually a little over a week ago when I met him at a group run in Cocoa, Florida. And he was telling me that he is prepping for, and this is something I can't wait to talk to him about, he's prepping for a bodybuilder competition. And that's something I've never been into or had any desire to be part of, but I've known several friends who were hardcore bodybuilders and competed in these competitions. And from what I understand, when they are up there, and you can, you know, and they've got the physique that you see on stage on these competitions, they are dangerously dehydrated. And as strong as they look, they're actually not like lifting things strong. They're look at my muscles strong, which are two different kinds of strong. And that's something we'll definitely talk to him about. Am I right in the dehydration thing? It sounded like you were about to comment on that. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a total dork, and I considered it briefly until I saw the kind of diet that they have to follow, and I knew it wasn't meant for me. I love lifting, absolutely love lifting, but the regimen that they have to follow is completely beyond the norm, and they are definitely not lifting, and bodybuilding competitions anyway, those final weeks when they're going through their cutting phase, it's all about just leanness, so no, they're definitely not at their strongest. And most fitness models, my understanding, that do the like cover photos usually can only maintain that for a very short period of a year because of how ill they can become.
Man, I understand the draw to it. And you know, because it's definitely an achievement of discipline, if nothing else, to get to that point where you can actually compete in these things. But it's something we can talk about with him. He'll be our guest in the second half of the show next week. And where he really fits in well with this show, too, is that his brand of CrossFit, instead of sort of being afraid of running, embraces running. The CrossFit community and the CrossFit culture, by and large, is sort of about building muscle and strength, not necessarily endurance and a lot of the CrossFitters will certainly, rather do anything else other than go for a 5 or 10 mile run. But 26.2 CrossFit embraces it, so they encourage running and they center on the obvious correlation between strength and endurance, and that's what they foster in the clients that they have over there. So can't wait to talk to him. That will be next week.
I think it'll be exciting. Yeah, I'm very excited to talk to him.
Yeah, and he's just a firecracker too. I mean, he's just a little bundle of energy. He's like a 5 hour energy with arms and legs. So it's going to be really cool having him on the show. Okay, one last thing to talk about here, and then we're going to talk to Brian Nelson, who is a obstacle course race, and actually the next thing that he has he's putting on is a 5K run. So we'll find out what goes into putting those things together. 347. 857-2793 is the number, and we haven't had... not calling in, you know. If you don't want to pick me for your team at recess, that's fine. But that is the telephone number. 347-857-2793. So, Christine, when I was digging around... think 7 minute running. You know, like the 6 minute abs. This is 7 minute running, and basically it's the result of a new study that says that running as little as 7 minutes a day will basically cut your risk of dying of a heart disease later in life in half. So that is, what, 50 or 49 minutes a week of running.
Just out of curiosity, do they say, are they aiming for you to do a 7 minute mile, or does it not matter if you basically just do 3/4 of a mile in 7 minutes? It just is 7 minutes of running, period.
Yeah, actually, I've got some audio here that I'm going to play for you, and I think they touch on that. They stress that the benefits are nearly the same if you go out and, you know, totally throw down and do 7 minutes or 6 minute mile pace, or, you know, you just go out for a jog. The fact is that you're doing it every day for, if somebody figured out, I guess 7 minutes is the threshold. So anything less than 7 minutes, you've wasted your time, and 7 minutes and 5 seconds, you've gotten a fantastic workout. But here's the audio. This is the news story itself. They dive into it a little bit deeper.
Hey guys, Tara here for D News. And I'll admit it, I'm not a runner. I tried to run a half marathon back in 2008, but then I injured my knee and it all went to hell. So imagine my surprise when a new study pops up this week in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology that says you don't have to go the distance to reap the benefits of running. Turns out, all it takes is 7 minutes a day. The article shares the results of a 15-year-long cohort study of over 55,000 adults to see whether running could reduce someone's risk of death from anything, not just heart disease. Now, because it is a cohort study, it can't technically conclude that running is what causes the reduced risk of death, but the correlation is there and it paints a pretty clear picture. People who run, even in modest amounts of 51 minutes a week, were found to have a 45% reduction in the risk of cardiovascular-related death and 30% overall reduction in any kind of death compared to non-runners. This means that on average, running can increase someone's life expectancy by about 3 years. Now, 51 minutes a week, or 7 minutes a day, isn't exactly a tall order. But the study also took other factors into account, like distance and speed, and found that even they don't make much of a difference at all. Even a light jog can significantly reduce one's mortality risk. Although they did find that persistent runners, people who do it regularly, had the best outcomes, with an average 50% reduction in cardiovascular-related deaths and 29% reduction in overall mortality.
Chrissy?
Yep.
What do you think about that one?
I believe it wholeheartedly. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, I there's been a lot of news stories in the fitness circles and forums online and on broadcast media lately about people who just sort of moderately run and don't go out and kill it, and don't run ultra marathons, and don't do the 100-milers and the triathlons and the Ironmans and everything, live much longer than the people who do. So there's, if you graph it out, the peak of the curve is going to be right there in the middle, where the most benefit is. And I guess I can kind of see that, because I mean, when you are an extreme or ultra athlete, man, you just kill your body. I mean, you're doing way more, you're asking a lot more of it than you were ever designed to do. I mean, it's impressive that you can, but it's a toss-up.
Definitely don't quote me on it, but I read a little bit on people who run Western states, and they submitted themselves for blood samples after running Western states, which is a 100-mile endurance run. I think you have to do it under 24 hours. Absolutely insane. And they said that the amount of breakdown that they have of all of their muscles and deterioration is just absolutely horrible for your body. Same thing with Ironman. It supposedly ages you a couple of weeks in terms of what it does to your insides, for lack of a better term.
Man, I mean, what's the most what's the craziest thing you've ever done? I mean, I've never done anything close to anything considered extreme or ultra yet. I say yet.
I don't know about that, Mark. I think practically everything you do is rather extreme. I can't say that I've done anything. I am being probably talked into doing a more of an ultra with a couple of girlfriends coming up here soon for my birthday in May. So we'll see if I actually sign on for it. You know, anytime you do a marathon, I think you're already pretty much doing a 30-mile race, though, because by the time you walk to the start line, most of them are the bigger city one that I did, And by the time you get back, it's at least 30 miles. So,
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think the first, I say obviously, it's not obviously, the first ultra that I think I'm ever going to attempt is just going to be a 50K, which is, technically 32 or 33, somewhere around there, miles.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm considering in May.
The smallest one that is technically considered to be an ultra. And you go up from there, the 50 miler, and then obviously the 100 miler. But I mean, I like to push myself, and I definitely like to test my limits from time to time. But 100 miles, screw that, never, probably never.
Well, somebody that we both know, and that's Hernan from Daddy Ultra Runs. He is an ultra runner, and basically what he's chit-chatted with us after some of the runs with me and my girlfriend Jody is that you really can only train up to almost a marathon distance. After that, it's really mental. Physically, you can't do much more to be prepared for that kind of a distance.
So you're saying once your mind is accepted that you can do 100, the difference between 100 and 200 is really not as big as the difference between like doing 5 or doing 20.
Yeah, I don't know about 100 to 200 miles. I mean, you're literally doubling. But I think he's meaning basically if you're trained up for a marathon distance, you could probably do a 50-miler.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you understood what I meant there. I way over-engineered that question.
But, hey, I'm sure sooner or later there is definitely going to be a 200-mile ultra race.
There probably already has been, I'm sure. You're listening to The Mo Show. The telephone number here, if you would like to be part of the show and you would like to call in and comment on anything we've talked about tonight, whether it be the 50 Shades of Gray fitness plan, whether it be running for only 7 minutes a day, or the fact that Tough Mudder is suing Mini Mudder for the trademark infringement. Love to hear your comments on any of those topics. The next topic up is obstacle course races and events and 5Ks and any of those things. What goes into actually putting one of them on? Of course, there's permits that need to be permitted. There's insurance that needs to be insured. And, of course, you know, there's the marketing. There's all kinds of different arms and legs that go into putting these things on. And joining us also from here in Florida is Mr. Brian Nelson, who is a guy who I met about a year ago who is a veteran of putting on events like this. And I'm sure he's got some good and bads and some stories from what goes into putting these things on to share with us. So, Brian, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing, Mark?
Fantastic. Say hi to Christine Hetzel. We're all here in Florida, but we're all still sending our voices up into space to talk to each other first.
Gotcha. How you doing, Christine?
I'm good. I'm excited to hear more about all of your races that you've done.
Yeah. You know, it's been, you know, Mark, I was kind of laughing. You were talking about some of the crazy stuff and or extreme things that you've done. And that's kind of how the end of 2013, 2014 was for us. Here in the Nelson household, we had a little bit of a crazy year. I actually had I call it minor. My wife didn't call it minor, but I had a minor heart surgery. I did an ablation surgery in October and ran the Savage race 12 days afterwards. And it was just one of those things. I didn't want to do the heart surgery beforehand because I didn't want to miss the race. And I was, you know, originally training to do it in a competitive wave. And, you know, the heart doctor said, no, let's go ahead and do this. You need to get this taken care of. And I'll let you walk the race if you walk it with your wife. So I did the Savage race in October, 12 days after a heart surgery, and then went directly into planning the Swamp Stomp Mud Run, which you participated in May.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot that goes into the planning and, you know, being I'd run plenty of mud runs, the Warrior Dash, Savage Race, stuff like that. But it wasn't until walking or jogging a mud run where I, you know, slowed down and actually paid attention to you know, the engineering behind the obstacles, the layout, and really kind of got to know the ins and outs of the race and really paid a lot of attention to it because it was already in the back of my head that I wanted to do one.
Mm.
And so it took me walking a race to kind of iron it out and really make the commitment. Okay, we're going to do a mud run. We're going to do it as a fundraiser. We're going to donate, you know, the one thing that will set us apart, we're going to donate 100% of what we do to a nonprofit and just have fun with it. And I think now that I've put one on, the way I look at mud runs is going to be different forever because I know now all the ins and outs, or at least most of them, that go into putting one together.
Right.
And I'm sure, I mean, you've run plenty of mud runs. And, you know, I think that one of the biggest factors, and I think it's one thing that can make or break a mud run, is the volunteer staff. And a lot of times I think that we as runners neglect to understand the importance of the volunteer staff. If you don't have enough people at a finish line clapping, cheering on the runners, it really deadens. It's almost anticlimactic. You know, if your finish line isn't exciting, it's sort of just like, oh, hey, here's a pat on the back, here's a medal, good job. You know, and it can really kill the excitement you've built up that entire race. And it's almost like your commitment is almost, or your you know, finishing the race is almost not valid when you get to the finish line, because it's just not what you expected. And, but yeah, it's definitely a different beast. You know, I guess if you were asking the timeline of putting one of them together, it was pretty crazy. I mean, we first had to find a site, that was going to permit us to do it and not cost us an arm and a leg. You know, that's probably the first step, you know, to doing any mud run or 5K or anything else. We're in the process of planning one right now. We're going to be doing the Father's Day 5K in Baldwin Park. We're going to do that June 20th. I think our only rule is going to be we'll have costumes that we'll do like a prize for. The only rule we'll have is it's mandatory you wear a tie. You may just be wearing a tie and shorts, but as long as you're wearing a tie, you'll be at the starting line. But you got to lock down the location. You got to find a spot where you can do it. You have to do a layout and, you know, have an adequate source of laying it out and measuring it. And sometimes those aerial photos will lie to you. You know, I'm
oh,
sure, you know.
When you're like, planning out the course, is that what you use? You use like Google Earth or something like that to look at the path, the course?
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of running apps, and you know, there's Endomoder, there's Nike Run, there's runningmaps.com.
Oh, I see what you're
where
saying.
You can plot your course, and it'll give you waypoints, and you can kind of figure, okay, if this is, you know, 3.6 miles, I'm going to put a couple of water stations. You know, you're looking on that aerial photo, and then when you do your site visit, I know one of the big factors we had at the property where we were for the Swamp Stomp Mud Run was the time of year was really, you know, the quality of the run was going to be dictated by the amount of water on the course. And it varied greatly. We were blessed. It rained earlier that week. It drained just enough that we had adequate parking, and all the mud pits stayed full. So
man, I'll tell you what. There was a couple of places. There was part of the course, probably in the second half of the course, right as you were coming in. If you remember the course, coming in towards the tire flip, there was. It was kind of a narrow path through the woods for maybe a couple hundred yards and knee deep muck. I mean, it was just gook. I lost my shoe. That's the only time, and I've done, I don't know, a bunch of Tough Mudders and Warrior Dashes, and some of them have been really, really, really muddy. I've never lost a shoe. You took one of my shoes. You were the first one. I had to crawl around on my knees and grab it and fish it out with my hands, and it took me a while to find the shoe in the mud.
That must have been right after the 8-foot wall. heading on the back part of the property right by the first mile marker?
Yeah, it was after that. The 8-foot wall was like next to a 10-foot wall, right? Weren't they like adjacent
right.
to each other?
Yeah, they were side by side.
One of them had a rope. Yep.
Yeah.
It was after
that. That area, I'll tell you, I don't know how deep the water was, but it comes up exactly to the hand hole in my rubber boots because my rubber boots got filled out there, and I just said, oh, forget it. You know? the next time I went, I just put tennis shoes on, tied them on tight, and that's how I walked the course. I ran that course well over 100 times. I probably walked that course 15 times and, you know, ran it at least 3 or 4 times throughout the process. But, that back section there heading to the back part of the property was pretty sloppy.
Yeah, and the obstacles were great. I got to give you some kudos because the race was awesome. My only complaint about it, and it has nothing to do with the race itself, was just I wished a lot more people were there. I wish the attendance could have been a lot better than it was.
Yeah, and I mean, that's it's tricky. I mean, we didn't have a big name and a big marketing budget like a Savage Race or a Tough Mudder or something like that where, you know, we've got, you know, $15,000 to drop on a marketing video. We've got, you know, like we, what a lot of mud runs do is they'll take, you know, they'll pay a couple guys to take a couple thousand flyers and they'll put a special code on that flyer and send them to a Warrior Dash or send them to a Tough Mudder or a Savage Race and hand out flyers. And for every person that uses that promo code, the people that hand that out get a couple bucks. And so
interesting.
You can do it that way. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is just say, hey, I'll give you $50 to go hand out flyers. But you never know if that guy's just going to go dump them in a corner of a parking lot somewhere and leave. And then, you know, there's the digital side of it, putting together your website, making sure that flows well, and the Google Analytics and all that fun stuff.
Once you dive into all the ins and outs of marketing, especially on the internet, now you're diving into an area that my brain just wants to explode with.
Yeah. You talked about losing your shoe on the course. I mean, my feet got stuck in that, and I lost a couple pairs of shoes. Just trying to wade through that, you know, and figure all that out and log it onto the website and say, oh, cool, there's 3 people on it. I can see exactly where they are. But then understanding how to use that and, you know, what to do with that, that's a whole different story to know what to do with it. But it was go ahead.
Oh, no, I was sorry. Finish your thought. I had something else I was going to go on.
Oh no, it is a lot of fun, and it's definitely a challenge to get all that put together. I definitely wish, and it would have been great to have a couple thousand people at the race, but we could have easily doubled our volunteer staff and done just as well. I mean, we had in a smaller race like that too, where you can't afford to lock down a piece of property for a 3-year contract. You have to build your own obstacles. We designed our own obstacles. I had a friend of mine who, his name is Rich Graham. He does Trident Fitness. A lot of people recognize him on the course because he ran with his dog. He had a service dog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember seeing him.
I remember that guy.
But
I remember the dog. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Miko. That was amazing. He actually has a second service dog now. But so he'll probably run another mud run sometime with both of them. But, he gave me some advice. You know, he's a retired Navy SEAL, so he had some ideas for the obstacles. But that was a big thing. I mean, putting the obstacles together, that was a lot of work, making sure they were safe. Some of these Savage Races, you know, they've got these teams of engineers to go in and make sure that, everything's safe. They have welders. They have... You know, I don't know, some of those half luge, half pipe, Colossus and things like
mm-hmm.
that. You know, you're looking at probably a $20,000 obstacle easily, and I may be way off there. It could be much more or a little bit less, but I mean, you know, more than we made in our race just for one obstacle.
So, Brian, how did you get the obstacles together? Because I know I have a friend who was actually looking at almost a project management position with one of the really larger places, because it does take a team of people not only to engineer it but to set it up and then obviously break it all down. How did you get that all taken care of?
Well, we were very fortunate. I mean, Omega Ranch is where we did it out in out towards Daytona Beach. He had some obstacles that were on the course already. You know, they do the Mud Titan out there. So they, the Mud Titan guy, I think it was the last time he was going to do an event out there, and he didn't want to pack up some of the obstacles. There were some that were kind of his staple obstacles, so we kept that. But, you know, I just kind of kept it organic. I mean, a lot of, you know, there was a few giant mud piles or dirt piles that we used. You know, we used water anywhere we could. I had a lot of connections within the community that were willing to donate, you know, over the road or off the road tires, you know, giant tractor tires, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used the lakes when we could. We had a lot of lifeguards, and that's one thing you don't see on a lot of mud runs. I know Savage Race has one little pond where you cross with a rope, but you know, a lot of people didn't know the lake they jumped in was actually 65 feet deep.
You kind of use the lay of the land. You use the lay of the land and some ingenuity thought out of the box and created the entire thing.
Exactly. I mean, you could take a property and make a really easy mud run, or you could take a property and make it a nightmare just based on how you lay it out.
That is awesome. Now, so, you already said that you wish that you would have had a bit more volunteers for this particular race, I'm sure you appreciated your volunteers, but you would have loved to have had more. Now, what are you doing for this 5K? Do you have a website, or how are people registering for it? How would they find out?
You know, as Mark mentioned, I mean, there's a lot of permitting involved. We're actually doing a site visit with the city and finishing up the permitting process.
Mm-hmm.
We've locked down the date and location, but we're still doing the permitting. But so we haven't opened up registration. I wanted to wait until we had all that, you know, finalized. We'll probably use the Healthy Start website, healthystartorange.org.
Mm-hmm.
Or we may use the Swamp Stomp website. Or I'll probably put a link on both. You know, because I'm doing both of them, and I, you know, some people have joined the Swamp Stomp Facebook page, and so you know, I may direct traffic to that and just let people know that it's the same group benefiting the same charity and the same nonprofit, and do it that way.
That sounds like an awesome way to do it. Now, are you kind of feeling like this 5K is going to be a breeze for you to organize after orchestrating a obstacle course race?
I mean, I definitely don't want to downplay a 5K. It's still, you're organizing an event where there's going to be a lot of people that are running and expecting a good time. You know, a 5K is a different monster than a mud run.
Mm-hmm.
I actually contemplated having almost like a steeplechase. You know, we're going to be going around Lake Baldwin. I almost thought about having people jump in the water, swim in some parts, but, you know, it's a different crowd. You really, when you're marketing to these people, there's 5Kers and then there's mud runners. And mud runners are expecting a mud run. 5Kers are expecting a 5K. And I don't know if anybody's really tried to mingle the two. So I don't know how that'll work. I don't know if I'm willing to experiment with it first.
Yeah, hey, it sounds like you're all about experiment, but the 5K racers or runners are pretty crazy when it comes to making sure the course is mapped out perfectly, because these are people who are, like, wanting to PR and shave seconds off of their time generally.
Exactly. So I'm not sure that maybe next time. We'll wait and see how this goes. But, you know, it's definitely easier that we don't have to create, maintain, and move or remove obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can just make it fun and, you know, that kind of stuff. I think we may let the competitive runners run first, and then just as we did for the Swamp Stomp, we may do a mandatory 100-yard dance-off like you did for the Swamp Stomp.
I love that. Now, will you have a DJ
that
on the course?
Awesome.
Or?
yeah, we'll definitely have a DJ. So we'll have some music playing, and it'll be a lot of fun. That was one thing I figured, you know, you know, Savage Race does smoke, and Warrior Dash has the giant flames that shoot up. And I thought, well, what can make us a little different and not cost an arm and a leg and still be a lot of fun? And so, you know, the competitive wave was all lined up, ready to race. And I said, okay, here's a little swing. You have to dance from here to the first obstacle. And I think some of the guys that were ready to actually run it, you know, they were checking their watches and getting ready to go. They looked at me like, what? So we, the first wave, the competitive wave, we did a crab walk for 100 yards. I figured, you know, I didn't want somebody's dance to be faster than somebody else's. So we did a crab walk for the first wave. I think we did the reverse running man for the second wave. And then we did a freestyle for the third and fourth wave. So it was a lot of fun. So we'll probably do that again. And mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome, Brian. I was in the second wave. I was one of the dancers. And
nice.
Yeah. It was awesome, though. I think that was a nice tie-in there. You're listening to The Mo Show. Telephone number here if you'd like to ask Brian a question about putting on a race. Maybe you want to put on your own race. Area code 347-857-2793 is the phone number to get in. A little over 8 minutes to go here in the show. Our guest is Brian Nelson, who has organized mud runs and obstacle course races, most notably the Swamp Stomp down here in Florida last May. And I participated in that one myself, and it was pretty awesome. If you'd like to ask him a question or if you'd like to comment on any of our other topics from earlier in the show, love to hear your thoughts on those as well. Running for 7 minutes a day, going to stop you from dying a few weeks earlier. And also the 50 Shades workout. The 50 Shades workout. I thought maybe we'd get a call or two on that one, but not yet. Once again, 347-857-2793. Brian, what about a 50 Shades mud run?
I think they tried one of those. And everywhere they tried to do it, the cities kept shutting it down. Wasn't there like an X-rated mud run or something like that?
Yeah, there was. There was there was one in Florida. Let me Google that real quick. There was a.
I know they had to keep moving. I don't know if they ever actually did it, but
the only problem it was called the X Run, adult themed mud run and obstacle course race. Yeah, the X Run. Yeah, and I think it was either canceled or the turnout wasn't that great. The problem with this concept is that you know, they're calling it an adult themed mud run, but there's no way they will ever get permitting to have people run naked on an obstacle course race. And that would be – I'm trying to keep it as PG-13 as possible. I mean, between you and me, that's the only way I would do it.
Insurance would be tough.
I would think insurance would be crazy.
I mean, I'm worried about brain bacteria with muddy water. I don't want to know what kind of bacteria you can get that way. Plus, thinking about the barbed wire crawl, I don't know that I'd want to be – that'd be one incentive to win the race. You wouldn't want to be behind anyone on the barbed wire crawl, at least you're not your buddy. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the obvious problem, and it's a marketing problem, is that the race will never live up to the name of the race itself. There's no way it can ever actually be the X Run. It would never actually happen. And so it would just completely not live up to expectations. It would be like the album, the one album that Deep Blue Something had in the 90s, right?
I don't know if I know that one.
Yeah, Mark, you lost me on that one too.
That was a bit of a stretch. Anybody? No? All right.
Crickets. But I mean, I will say this though. It definitely, you know, about your other topic, the running, you know, 7 minutes a day, there is something to be said about just your body creating, you know, those natural painkiller hormones and that kind of stuff. You know, after we did the Swamp Stomp mud run, I did started training for a 250-mile bike ride that we did. I did with my friend, the Navy SEAL, and we did it as a benefit for Operation Restore Warrior. We did. We started in Orlando, and we biked 250 miles in 36 hours. So we went from Orlando to Fort Pierce. We stayed the night at the Navy SEAL Museum. And I say stay the night. It was really more of a nap. And then we were out at 4 a.m. and we got back to Orlando for a big old shindig afterwards. You know, we had a little party afterwards, and I tell you, I went out. Shortly after that, we completed it. It was great. And in December, I went to Pennsylvania, did some hunting, and you know, obviously Pennsylvania, there's lots of hills, and I mean, I felt great. I mean, I was running all over the south of Pittsburgh there, you know, freezing cold all over the hills and everything, and you know, I felt on top of the world just because, you know, your body's in shape, and as long as you can maintain that and do some workouts and stuff like that. It's whenever you stop, your body kind of starts cramping up, your back gets sore in the morning, and that kind of stuff. It's amazing what running 1 mile once, twice a week will do for your body.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if either one of you guys are have been checking out that 2015 and 2015 mile challenge. So I have a lot of friends that have taken that on, and they're basically run streaking. And Mark and I have some people who did Ragnar with us a couple years ago that have been on a run streak for probably going on a year now. So I think there is definitely some benefit.
Streak run. That's different from the streak run you were talking about with the X run, right? Run streaking is different from streak running.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's definitely well, we'll probably be talking about that kind of run streak also at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've done
that
a couple of those.
That will be allowed at the Father's Day 5K, by the way.
No, I imagine
we're
not.
We're going to try and keep it a family atmosphere. So,
especially
yeah.
Since you have to wear a tie.
Yeah, and that'd have to be a really long tie.
Not in my case, Brian.
Well, hey, you got to accept how it is and just roll with it. Maybe a bow tie. Dress it up. A
couple of minutes left in the show here. And the show has taken a wonderful turn downwards. Telephone number here, 347-857-2793. This is on every week, every Thursday at 7 p.m. from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Next week, we have a guest with us as well. Allie will be joining us from 26.2 CrossFit in Melbourne. And we're basically going to be talking about how he incorporates endurance with the whole CrossFit culture and the whole CrossFit philosophy. So that should be interesting as well. So that's coming up next week. Brian, thanks very much for spending some time with us and talking about your adventures. It doesn't sound like you've had very many misadventures, which is surprising because I would have trying to put something together like you did. We had about a minute and 40 seconds left here. So any closing thoughts you have or advice that you can give?
Just get out there and have fun. I'd say the biggest thing that changed after me putting on a mud run is my appreciation for volunteers. You know, when I ran the next mud runs I've run, you know, thank each volunteer because a lot of times, you know, I found out, you know, we gave our volunteers, you know, Chick-fil-A and, you know, we fed them pretty good and they were amazed. And they were like, wow, when I volunteered at such and such, you know, when I started off in the morning, they gave me a bag with a veggie wrap in it, and that was all I got all day, and a bottle of water. And I was like, wow, you know, how long did you stay? Well, it was an 8-hour day. So, you know, I definitely appreciated the fact that these guys are out there, and they're out there to make your experience better. And I think that's something a lot of runners overlook. They just think, oh, well, if there's something wrong or if there's a long line, they complain about it and everything else. They don't think about the thought or the planning and everything else that goes into, you know, making that event possible and, you know, the months
Brian,
and months and months of effort.
Yeah. Brian, real quick, 30 seconds left. Somebody wants to follow you and learn about your races that are coming up. Where should they go?
They can go to our website, swampstompmudrunorlando.com. Swampstomporlando.com. Or they can go to our Facebook page. It's just Swamp Stomp Mud Run, Orlando.
It is
the
show. We'll catch you next Thursday at 7 p.m.